and unleash something very new in this house, very new in this place, both in kingdom land and also in here. I'm just believing that. I believe the Lord has spoken that to me. And there's something new. There's a change. There's an upgrade. There's an increase. There's something that the Lord is saying to us regarding the fire of this house. Oh, and the destiny of this place. The Lord says, do not forget the former. Understand the present and call in the future, because you are so loved. Because you are so anointed and called and chosen. Thank you, Holy Spirit. We believe your promise. We believe your word. And we call in every word, picture, dream, and vision of all in this house. The children, grandchildren, mamas and papas, aunts, uncles, cousins, and friends. We thank you, Lord, for this promise. In Jesus' name we declare it. Amen. 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 We can put up the event up there real quickly. We're going to release the children to Kingdom Land. Do we have it? Okay, before you guys leave, I want you to look at this up here, and the leaders have something to say about it. And I want the children to know that someday, they may not understand this now, but they'll be leading this, and it'll be a much larger venue than it is now. God's up to something very big in the world today. And the Lord started it in a small stable, right? But he's doing something right now that's very unique. And so children, look up here right now. Oh, look up here. And I want you to see a picture. This is just not any event. Everybody look. Everybody watch the video.
Okay, so who liked that video? Isn't that awesome? Woohoo! Yeah, that was all Carly right there. So way to go. Yeah, good job, Carly. I'm very excited to be a part of the group that's putting the event together. I just want to tell you just a quick personal testimony. I came to the first conference that Frontline had about almost 4 years ago, and it completely changed my life. I was in a really dark place in my life, and a lot of people had, you know, I felt like a lot of people had let me down, and there was sickness in my family, and just everything that could have possibly have gone wrong, and that point in my life had completely gone wrong. And my friends from the Edge Bible Study at Mount Union invited me to come to the conference. And the Lord just came in like a mighty wind in my life. And he just radically changed my life in a weekend. And I was never the same. And I knew that God was real. That God was real, and he loved me. And he loved me after everything that I had done and all the mistakes that I had made, that God loved me and that there was hope. And that the whole time he had just been, all those months before, he had just been, there had been a buildup, and he'd just been waiting to bring me to the conference, and that he was just going to change everything, and he did. And I have never looked back. And so if that's you, if you're a young person, I encourage you to come to the conference. It's going to be amazing. And if you know a young person, if you know someone that's high school or college age, if they're a family member or a friend or a neighbor or someone that you meet at the convenience store, I just encourage you to give them a flyer, to send them to the website and to get them registered, because this is going to change their life. And it's so beautiful. Like, to have a whole weekend where you can just be in the presence of the Lord and allow him to love on you and to bring healing to those places in your heart where you want it, and to make really good friends. The best, you know, I never really had a really close group of friends in college. I was just kind of a floater. And I came to Frontline and I came to the conference, and I had solid friends who loved me in good and bad times, and it was just amazing. So that's basically the gist. That's my testimony about the conferences. But so basically, it's I think it's the second weekend in September, And it's a whole weekend. It goes from Friday night until Sunday afternoon. And we go out in the woods and we go to a campground. You bring your sleeping bag and some comfortable clothing and your toothbrush, you know, a Bible, that type of thing. And we just spend the whole weekend getting to know Jesus better, getting to know ourselves better, and making really, really good friends. So, yeah.
Blessings to you. I receive them. Louder now, I receive them. I don't know, there seems to be some anticipation here this morning. Usually I get up here and everyone's looking to the sides, talking to someone or whatever. Today you're looking forward. I sure hope so. This is going to be good when Holy Spirit finally puts it together. I just know it. Pastor Mary Pat and I have been at a conference in Florida, suffering for the gospel. Although there was a great big pool, and she dipped her toes in it, and I didn't even get that far. So, but we heard Reinhard Bonnke. He is going strong. 73 years old. One of the things that he heard early in his ministry was, God will save Africa. So they showed the videos of the recent crusades, especially in Nigeria. 1.6 million. 2 point something million. And 3 point something million people in one meeting. Have you heard about it? Is it on the news? But it's happening in different cities in Nigeria and elsewhere around the world. He told a story about his first crusade. The Lord just told him, go for a stadium. So he started to talk to the people in the churches in the area. Thought that'd be a good way to start and get some people to come. Nobody wanted to come. He only had one church that said, yeah, we'll get our people there. And he had a huge stadium to fill. So he said, well, God, you're going to have to do something about that, you know. And over the course of several days, the stadium was not only filled, they didn't even have enough room for the people. So what is impossible in our thoughts, in our minds, is very possible with God, and he cares about those things. So, Reinhard has a new message for you and for me. He now lives in Florida, ministers out of Florida, has for several years. He's an American citizen and true red, white, and blue American citizen, I might add. He's unabashed American citizen. And so the new thing that God has told him, and he will start in Orlando next month, God will save America. And you know how Reinhardt says it. God will save America! God will save America! You know, he's not like me, you know, laid back. He is forceful. And when he says that, the whole building shakes with the authority that the Holy Spirit puts in him. It's awesome. So he spoke a couple of times, and Bill Johnson and Heidi Baker, I think, had everybody on the floor. As normal, she started out on the floor. Everybody ended up on the floor. But there was a guy that I think he was a replacement. Jack Hayford didn't make it to the conference. So we need to pray for him. I don't know what the deal is, whether it's his health or what. But I think he was replaced by Joseph Garlington. He's from Pittsburgh. He has an inner city church. And I'd been to a few conferences, but I don't think I'd ever heard him speak. He not only speaks, he sings while he preaches. It's anointed, amazing. The range is from here to there. I was reaching for some of the notes he was hitting. It was awesome. Tremendous, tremendous thing. And he was speaking on the topic of our spiritual language. And he's unabashedly teaching about that, of course. And one of the things he said was that, you know, he's in the flow and he starts in tongues, you know. And then for some reason it goes into a different gear. How many have had that experience? Now, if you aren't quite at the place of having your spiritual language yet, you'll be there. If you know anyone that speaks in a heavenly language, speaks in tongues, you'll be there. I knew all the stuff, at least I thought I did, all the stuff against tongues. So when I met Pastor Mary Pat, I bet I was in her presence 5 minutes, and I said, I have met a tongues talker. I know it. I know it. And we're going to get down to it. So I let her know. I said, I have nothing against anyone speaking in tongues. Not a thing. For them. It's for them. It's for them. But not everyone does, as evidenced. I'm one of those that doesn't. And, you know, he gives the gift to some and not to others. And I had my whole structure of arguments. And I heard a guy on the radio. I had his books. I read them. I had my arguments down as to why I shouldn't have them. But people I worked with, they had tongues. Hey, great, wonderful. Have at it. Not against it. But it's not for me. Because it's not for me. That was the bottom line. I mean, it has happened. And I had the blessing and amazing experience of coming to Jesus. And I can explain that experience, that encounter. This one has never come. But you spend time with Pastor Mary Pat, and she just naturally speaks in heaven's words around you a bit. I thought, well, okay, I have only read on one side of this. I'll go ahead and read on the other side. I mean, that's only fair. It's only right. So I started reading secretly on the other side. Jack Hayford reading, he was so gentle, so understanding. He didn't even understand it all. I thought, now that's interesting. And the Lord opened my heart, you know, just a little bit. I wasn't even done with the book. And I'm in my basement office. And I'm, you know, doing something. And all of a sudden, the presence of God is in my basement office. Basement office. Not even the upper room. And I get out of my easy rolling chosen desk chair and go to the floor. And I thought, wow, this is great. This is awesome. I wasn't thinking, it's time. But it wasn't long before I thought, it's time. Uh-oh. I don't know what to do from here. And just about that time, Pastor Mary Pat walks into my basement office, sees me on the floor, not even shocked. By the way, she wouldn't argue with me about the scriptures. I wanted to argue the scriptures. You know, that sounded solid and right. I knew a few of them. I'll argue the scriptures. She didn't want to. She said, it'll come, you'll find it. No, no, you don't understand. I can explain why I don't have them and why I won't. It'll come. It's a blessing for everyone. No, you don't understand. We need to go to the scriptures and argue it out. And she says, no, we don't. The experience will come. Okay, I struggled with a little bit of frustration and anger. Just a little bit. I thought, you won't talk to me about it from the scriptures? You're kidding. Then I knew why when I was on the floor in the basement and she walked in and she knew exactly what was happening. So the thing she said was not, oh, are you okay? What's happening? You know, she just said, do you want to receive here or somewhere else? Lord, not only does she speak in tongues, she's prophetic. Who have you married me to? I said, not here. Let's go up into the bedroom. So I went up into the bedroom. I stretched out in the bed, and she put her hands on me. And I just started speaking. There wasn't a whole lot of interchange that I remember between the two of us. Like, okay, you know, how's this work? You know, what happens? What do I say? I don't get it. How do I get started? It was just, she put her hands on me and, whoo. And I didn't want to stop. It was just so great. Bed, one of my favorite places. And a new language. And so when Joseph Garlington was singing in tongues. And when I sing in tongues, there's just something special. Obviously, it's not the only way I sing. It's not the only way you sing. But it's a wonderful thing. It's an empowering thing. It's a warring thing. We start out, I love it. Goes right naturally into warring against all the things that come against us. And this isn't even what the message is about today. But I just thought you should step into what was once new to you again with new fervor, new passion. Some of those things that we face, some of those hurdles, you need to go after those things again. Some of us have given up. Some of us have become weary in the battle. We still pray. We still think about it. But now we need to war with all the weapons again. Pick up some of those weapons we've put aside and said, well, I'll get to those at some point. And start using the very weapons that were so glorious to us when we first discovered them. Or if we haven't discovered them yet, ask the Lord, because he wants to give us these beautiful gifts to empower us to not only build up our own lives, but build the kingdom. And how can we build the kingdom if we don't even believe that he can overcome the things in us? So pick up that weapon again. I know I was encouraged to do that in greater measure as I heard him share and sing and laugh and have joy and do a message on one of the beautiful things that God has given to us. You know, we rarely know what we're saying, but we are communicating so closely with God's heart. Does it matter? There are many things he says to us. We don't have a clue what he's talking about. Does it matter? He's speaking life into us. He's speaking life into us. We don't have to understand everything. We're already told in the scriptures we won't. We're to seek, we're to dig, we're to go deep as we can go, but not be frustrated and upset if we don't understand everything. We're not going to. But we can understand his goodness. We can sense that in every way. We can take that for ourselves and build the kingdom. So I was very encouraged, especially by his way of message through Joseph Garlington, that, you know, he sings, he dances, he has joy, he has the music going on behind him during his whole message. It's really cool, really enjoyable. So I thought today, if we would stand, that, you know, sometimes near the end, we kind of have a time where we say, we offer ourselves to you. Some of the messages this summer while the team was gone had to do with presenting ourselves. We're going to present ourselves in a fresh new way to the Lord so he gives us his perspective. Gives us his heart. So I thought we'd start at the beginning. I told Jamie as she was deciding which songs to do, and she took out one song and said, I think we're supposed to do this song. I'm a lover of your presence. Did you listen to the words? Let this be a sacrifice. Let me dedicate my life to worship you. I'm a lover of your presence. I'm a lover of your presence. I'm a lover of your presence. Our passions stirring deep inside. You're all that really satisfies. We worship you. We are lovers of your presence. We are lovers of your presence. We are lovers of your presence. I was made for love. I was made for love. I was made for loving you. Whoa. If we could just get that in our hearts this morning before we hear what the Lord has for us. I think that would be awesome just to present ourselves again for a washing in his presence. Submit ourselves again, even for heavenly language. Present ourselves again to receive all his good gifts in order to bless somebody else. To build the kingdom, to love other people. To love him first and go after the hearts of other people with the love that he gives back to us and always has. So as the worship team leads us again in this, you can sing, you can soak in the song, you can participate or you can listen, but allow the Lord to speak to your heart. I'm going to be allowing him to speak to mine.
glory, Lord. Set myself
free. I'm a lover of your presence.
Down and when I rise up, you understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and you are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You've enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is too high. I cannot attain to it. Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to the heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the dawn, if I dwell in the remotest part of the sea, even there your hand will lead me, and your right hand will lay hold of me. If I say, surely, the darkness will overwhelm me, and the light around me will be night. Even the darkness is not dark to you, and the night is as bright as the day. Darkness and light are alike to you. For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance, and in your book were written all the days that were ordained for me, when as yet there was not one of them. How precious also are your thoughts to me, O God! How vast is the sum of them! If I should count them, they would outnumber the sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Oh, that you would slay the wicked, O God! Depart from me, therefore, men of bloodshed, for they speak against you wickedly, and your enemies take your name in vain. Do I not hate those that hate you, O Lord? And do I not loathe those who rise up against you? I hate them with the utmost hatred. They have become my enemies. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, and know my anxious thoughts, and see if there be any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way. Lead me in the everlasting way. See if there be any hurtful way in me. See if I have anxious thoughts. Know my heart. Search me. Try me and know me. Lead me in the everlasting way. See if there's any hurtful way in me. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. Search me, O God, and know my heart. See if there's any hurtful way in me, and lead me in the everlasting way.
So I love your presence. We love your presence, Lord. It's the way we always want to be, loving you, enjoying you, reaching out to a world that needs you. We love you, Lord. We receive you, Lord. Encounter your people, encounter your children, Lord. More of you, more of you. More of you, 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 more of you.
Good to us, God. Good to us, God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated, or stand, or bow, or lay down. Well, here's where I take a risk because I'm stepping away from my notes. They weren't that great anyway. More scrawlings and musings than anything. But you know, children, and sometimes that's called rambling. So I'm asking Holy Spirit to focus the rambling. If I look at that page, it's mainly rambling. The children have no problem with rambling. You ever notice that? Yesterday we were having a breakfast in honor of Mike's birthday at Bueller's. And our only granddaughter, Haley, she just suddenly got up from the other side of the table, came over to me, and starts, you know, a whole new subject. We're on a subject, all of us around the table, but, you know, children are not on a subject. They're on whatever subject they want to be. And she came up to me and she said, and somewhat prophetically from the past, if some of you know a bit of my testimony, she said, "Do you know what?" I looked at her. She's this tall, you know. I turn over in my chair. I'm looking at her. "What, honey?" She says, "If the field's on fire, we need to stop, dop, and roll." And we were in a, you know, restaurant, and it was a parking lot. It'd be hard to find a field at that moment. It didn't matter. She was rambling to me, musing to me about probably the latest revelation in her life. That if a field is on fire, or any fire is around, it's good to stop, dop, and roll. Now, I could have questioned her and said, "Do you know what that means? Can you demonstrate?" And I just thought, no, I'll leave that for her father. He can sort out the details. I'm just going to enjoy the musing, the rambling, the new revelation that she has that she wanted to share with her grandfather. I love that about children. They don't have any problem musing and rambling. So if you think that I'm rambling at some point, grace, grace. Grace, grace. But I had two thoughts. One's short, one's long. I didn't see any disappointment when I said long. Good, okay. So the first one is, do you know it's better that you are radical in front of people than spending time with people? It's more important that throughout the course of your life, you are radical, totally sold out to Jesus, crazy revivalist radical. And that will affect the people in your life that you care so much about. This is a tough one because it gets real close to the heart. In order to see the people come to Jesus and come to revival or come to a good place in God, we have to believe that God wants it to be, in the case of our family, under the household. Because we may not see that with our eyes, that it's under the household when we're looking at some of our family members, some of the ones we really care about coming into the kingdom. Oh, we want friends. We want strangers. We want Stark County. We want Ohio. We want the nation. We want nations to come to Jesus. I just bet you want your family members to come to Jesus really bad. And we're contending for some of those family members, aren't we? And we've had words about them. And we've stood on things together. And we've grabbed arms together and said, under the household. We want it to be under the household. Some of you are realizing that you can be as nice as you want to be. You can be as close as you want to be to a family member. You can buy them gifts and be sweet to them, and still you're rejected because you know Jesus. Or you're rejected because you're radical for Jesus. By family members. Am I speaking to people that don't know what I'm talking about? Or okay, so what happens is sometimes we feel like, okay, then I have to be nicer yet, and I have to buy more gifts, and I have to spend more time, and I have to gather them in, and I have to hang out with them more, and that will solve something in their heart. Well, there's nothing wrong with spending time with family, buying gifts, and so on, but it's actually going to come primarily through you being as sold out to Jesus as you can be. That's hard when it comes right down to it. You just think the other way. Oh, if I'm just nicer, I don't bring up Jesus that much to them and it offends them too much, somehow it'll help them change. But actually, you burning on fire for Jesus, the light's too bright at first. They wish you went into some other corner in some other house, not in your house or not in your family's house, whatever. First, it's just too bright. Tone it down. Tone it down. But I'm telling you, over time, it's going to be the light that draws them out of the darkness. Your bright light. If it's dim, they won't care too much. They'll figure, well, they're not doing a whole lot either. It's nothing really to change here. But if you're so bright, you're so radical, you're loving, you're caring, you're not, you know, snooty radical. You're not like, I'm better than you radical. But if you're lovingly radical, and, you know, be nice, sure, love, care about them, but go towards the radical, you will find that family members will start coming to Jesus. People that in your family that don't care for you a whole lot will suddenly think, wow, you helped me meet Jesus. You were there the whole time telling me about Jesus. I remember my sister. I told her as soon as I became a believer, she was 9 years older. She was my babysitter, basically, when I was a kid. She taught me how to sing, she says. I don't know. I was too young. She said it was to Elvis Presley. I don't know. She didn't really listen to Elvis Presley, so I don't know why. She picked him to have me sing. Maybe I was going around the house going, and she said, hey, you ain't nothing but a hound dog and jailhouse rock and so on, supposedly. And I never heard her listen to those, but she said that's what she taught me. So anyway, she was a built-in babysitter, 9 years old. Can you imagine having a kid like me come into the family, and you're 9, and you're going, oh, good, oh, good. Because when the parents are away working, she's learning how to babysit. But she cared about me. Otherwise, I'd be dead. Because I caused her a lot of grief. And then my brother came along 2 years later. Double grief. He looked like Charlie Brown for the longest time. Round head, no hair on top. I didn't recognize that till years later, or I would have teased him to death. But I told her about coming to Christ as soon as I came to Christ. I told her about other things. I wish I hadn't told her before that. She was somewhat of a confidant in certain ways. And so at 19 years of age, I called her and talked to her about coming to Jesus. And she said, I never want to hear anything about this again. No, you didn't understand. It's a good thing. I now know Jesus. I'm going to be different. I don't really want you to talk to me about it. And so that set about a series of me not talking about it, but she would persecute me whenever she got a chance to put in a little dig. And I learned, as the Holy Spirit taught me, how not to react to those digs. And that's not easy for me. I'm kind of a quick reactor. And I learned, though, not to react to it. So for 10 years, approximately, I didn't say anything to her really about Jesus and learned how to be careful when she would pull the persecution thing on me. And at the occasion of my father's death, she called me up, and she was drunk, and she had a rather loose tongue. You know, when you're drunk, you say things you wish you hadn't said. Some of you do that when you're spiritually drunk, and I have a list. Taking names. She called me up, and she was loose tongue, and she said, one of the things she said was, you have talked to me about Jesus every time I've seen you for 10 years. And I almost said, are you kidding me? I haven't said anything. But I didn't. The Holy Spirit kind of, you know, took my lips, and while I was on the phone, and I thought, shut up, she's telling you something here. And she went on and on and on, how every time she saw me, I was telling her about Jesus, speaking to her about God. And she wasn't even sure she liked him because, you know, her father's taken away from her. He was young, he was 60 years of age. Gone because of lung cancer from, you know, years of smoking. But he received the Lord in the last year of his life. God allowed me to be part of leading him to Jesus under the household. He didn't look like he wanted to be a believer. I shared Jesus with him the day that he found out he had cancer. It doesn't make any sense to me. But the Lord said, this is the time, and sure enough it was. I saw him cry, I saw him pray, and heard him pray, and heard for the first time in my life, I love you, all in the same hour or two. That was an hour of power. And so I wanted the same thing for my sister. And she's telling me, you've been witnessing to me for 10 years. I thought, that's pretty efficient. I haven't said anything, and she heard 10 years of witnessing. This is awesome! So what's the principle there? To me, it's a Holy Spirit principle, and you know how he is. Sometimes he wants you to love a little bit more beyond this because it's just it's a guideline. Sometimes he wants you to, you know, make radical choices rather than, you know, do an extra amount of, I'm going to take a month and just love somebody. He wants you to go overseas for a month. But the general principle is this, that you have to be as radical as you can be, and then he'll speak to him through Holy Spirit. He'll make up for what you think you're missing out on. Even if they put a hand in your face, he's talking to them through your life. She would take, back in the day, the videotapes that we made here of our first few trips, especially to Africa. And she had a leg amputated, so she hung out with a lot of veterans. And they would be in getting an adjustment to, you know, their artificial leg, And she would say, hey, she was living alone. Hey, why don't you come on over? I want you to see my crazy brother. He takes trips to Africa. You ought to see this. Now, this is before she was even a believer. And remember, she persecuted me forever. And she still invited these people over to see her crazy brother. Now, this is after she told me, you've been talking to me for 10 years. You've been speaking to me about Jesus for 10 years. And what I thought would turn her away from God, and I would have to come in and, you know, make up the difference, a leg being amputated because of, again, lifelong smoking, blood problems, blood flow problems, and so on, was the thing that brought her closer to Jesus. And it brought us closer together because she knew from those videotapes that we prayed for healing. Come on. And so she was open for prayer as an unbeliever. And for these guys to come over and see her crazy brother on this tape. I can't make that happen. I couldn't have suggested that to her. She would have said, are you crazy? I'm not going to do that. But because it was her idea, because it was the best entertainment she could think of, she had some veterans come over and watch this tape. And they discussed it. Now, I have no idea what they discussed about it. But it wasn't long after that that we were in a circle and Pastor Mary Pat asked her if she would like to receive Jesus, and she said yes. Now, she lived 500 miles away, and we didn't see her that often, and it didn't matter. God wanted her in the kingdom. And as long as I was radical, I shouldn't be feeling guilt that I didn't get up there enough, 500 miles away. I didn't go there enough. I wasn't up there enough. Because he was taking care of it. Now, if he would have led me to go up there more often, I would have gone. But that's not what happened. And he brought my sister to Christ. So when it came to the point where she was, because of her physical condition, that she was close to death, we get a call at the last minute, it seemed like, from family members, and they said, oh, you need to come up, you know, because she's close to dying. So it's like, okay, what day do you go? What exactly, when do you leave to go? Because if you're 500 miles away and you're ministering to people here and so on, how? If it lingers on for 2 months and you go up too early, you know, that's a lot of time up there. What do we do, God? I don't know. What do we do? Help us with the timing. So we sensed today, go today. So we left, we went up there, and she was brought home basically to die that day. We go in, we get a chance to pray for her. We get a chance to ask her if she would like to rededicate, you know, make sure she was, you know, on the page with Jesus and so on. We weren't up there to observe her life that much during the time after she became a believer. We offered that to her. She took it. She prayed right out to make that commitment to Jesus solid. It ended up being the day before she died. And then we had, you know, the honor of, because she was in her home when she passed away, we had the honor of praying for her to resurrect right in her home with, you know, other family members around. We were sensitive to them, but incredible opportunity, and God knew the exact timing we should go there. Now, she didn't resurrect, but she received the Lord, and she made that commitment solid the day before that she passed away. Now, only God can do that. And I'm saying, if you're so on fire for him and so radical for him, and you have deep, deep concerns about your family and family members and so on, you'll see them come into the household of God your children, you'll be able to believe for them to be part of the household of God forever. Because when they're young and they're in the church and they're prophesying and they're having all these experiences, you couldn't imagine them ever straying from the Lord. But it's a possibility. Always is. Once they come to the age of accountability and they make their own choices, you say, well, I'll just influence them that much more. Not always. But the Lord is gracious. He's good. He's going to be after them. Whether they stray or they don't stray, he's going to be after their hearts. Because you're going to be on fire in front of them. You're going to take nations in front of them. And I just had that on my heart. Now, there's a lot of thinking that you need to do with Holy Spirit with that, don't you? What is the balance? What is, how much time do I give to this, to this, to this? And he'll lead you in all of it. But as a general thing, become as sold out, as radical, revival as you can possibly be. Don't ever think that, well, if I tone it down, I'll be more palatable to family members. I'll be more palatable to friends. I'll be more palatable to those I work with. Palatable doesn't do anything. You're becoming more like them, homogenous. You need to stand out. You need to be crazy radical for him without being annoying too much. So that was the short one. Wow. It's not feathers, but it is a dryer sheet. How about that? It's good. It's keeping it fresh every day. That's right. Okay, the other thing is this. And this is a little complicated. Do you know how we have five senses? You know, we have seen, hearing, smelling. I thought people would follow me in this, but I guess not. Tasting and touch. And then, of course, you hear about the sixth sense. That sixth sense. Some people, you know, get into women's intuition. When it gets on the real evil dark side, it's psychics, astrologers. Could be kind of positive in some cases, a knowing inside of us. But, you know, five senses, I thought, okay. You've got the sixth sense, but six is the number of, say that again?
Man.
Now, I don't know about you, but I've learned one thing. I don't want to stop at six anymore. In my life, I don't want to stop at six on anything because That's just us. That's just what we have. That's just our little thing of oil. I always want to go to seven. Even when I have like 6 points in my message, I go, there's got to be another one. I'll make it up if I have to. Just to reach seven. And then, of course, I'll go throughout the Bible to make sure that's a strong point at the end. So what's the seventh sense, I thought? Just ask a question of myself. What would the seventh sense be? And I thought, presence. Presence is the seventh sense. Well, how does that work? Okay, we have our five natural senses. You know that you can see things and your soul interprets it. You can hear things, and your soul, not just your mind, but your will and emotions, interpret whatever it hears, whatever it sees, whatever it smells, whatever it tastes, whatever it touches. And then you come into the, and you start out with a dead spirit. So the soul is the big interpreter of everything. Okay. You come up with your own wisdom. The Bible, throughout Proverbs and throughout the Bible, it says, you know, there are wise people. And it's talking about those that think they're wise in their own minds. They think they're wise in their own thoughts. And they don't make it very far. They're limited. This whole thing is limited. The five senses and the soul's interpretation of whatever those five senses come up with, and even the sixth sense, is limited. Now think about it. The sixth sense. Do psychics sometimes have power to do certain things to help? Yes. They've seen a person buried somewhere. The police go there. They find the person buried. Boy, we're using this person again. This is great. And the enemy goes, this is great. Why? Because they're going to depend on a person, a man, a woman with five senses, a sixth sense that happens to be energized by the demonic. And that's as far as they'll go. And they find the dead person. Let me quickly just say, if you had the seventh sense involved, the presence of God, you could be prophetic. And you could tell the police before that person was ever murdered that they were going to be murdered if you had it operating to a very high degree. The police never think of that. Preventative medicine. They wouldn't go to the seventh sense, the presence of God working inside of us in the prophetic to stop a murder. They always pick up the pieces afterwards, not always with a psychic, but with investigative skills or possibly using a psychic that knows because the demon was involved in killing the person and the demon reveals it to them and they go find the person's body. But that's not real power. Preventing the murder, that's real power. Some of you look a little, you know, confused. It's okay. I'm a little confused. But these five senses, sixth sense, knowing, just think of that one as, I just know. I just know. There's a storm coming. I just know it's coming. Okay? And then the seventh is God's presence. So if you're only left with the first six and the soul interprets, it's going to be very limited. If you operate in the presence of God and all the giftings and all the prophetic that he has to give to you, then you are operating at such a higher level because now your spirit is alive. It's responding to the presence of God and everything he knows, everything he is, all the revelation he has is, in some sense, accessible to you. That's hugely important. So if you're just a person, you have five senses operating, maybe a sixth sense. It's either developed or undeveloped, but that's all you can get. That's it. And your soul interprets it. Your soul, you know, is kind of not so great all the time. In fact, so many times in the Bible, they have thoughts of evil continually. That's what the soul can give you at its worst. Thoughts of evil continually. That's what you're going to operate on? Of course not. That's why you became a believer. You got sick of operating on all that. Once you became a believer, your spirit is no longer dead. It's alive. It came to life. It's no longer dead. And guess what your new interpreter is? Of your five senses, your sixth sense, and the presence of God energizing your spirit. It's your spirit doing the interpreting. So you see a split in every church. Those operating under the Spirit and those that give in to the soul and the old man way of operating. Could you, in good conscience, gossip if you were operating under the new life of the Holy Spirit and all the goodness he has for us and his interpretation of our five senses, our sixth sense? Could we gossip in good conscience to hurt someone? You know, speaking to hurt someone. Speaking stuff to hurt somebody. Of course not, because the Spirit is supposed to be responding to a God that's good. Do you know God doesn't even gossip about you? Of course he doesn't. It says his thoughts in the Psalm 139 passage that I read are as many as the sands. His thoughts. Now, those thoughts, every one of them are good. It doesn't have like a beach somewhere in Cancun that he saves for all the negative thoughts about you. And then the other beaches, of course, he's got some nice thoughts about you. All the sand of all the seashores, all his thoughts about you are totally good. And so if we're operating under the Spirit and we're struggling with criticism and judgment and things like that, we're not operating according to the presence, the seventh sense. Automatically, we know it. Because God is thinking only good thoughts about us. So we're going to think good thoughts about other people. Now, we might struggle with it. We might, okay, I need to get and start thinking good thoughts about people. That's okay. You got there. You tapped into the seventh sense. You got the strength and the power, because in your own soul, you can't do it. Operating under the soul, you don't have the power to do it. Operating under the old man, which you would dip into if you did do it, you're not going to have any power to think good thoughts about people. Especially people that kick you in the teeth. People that persecute you. You know, when my sister was persecuting me, I'd like to retaliate. Get back at her somehow. And then the Holy Spirit would come and say, why? She needs me. Why would you want to get back at somebody that's so lacking in life? Because she doesn't know me. And he taught me, don't retaliate. Love on her. My brother and I were 2 years apart, I told you. You can imagine in northern Michigan with nothing to do. So we just back and forth. We were our own playmates and we just let each other have it all the time, you know. And then when I became a believer, he would, you know, he'd be watching a football game together. I'd say, oh man, look at that play. Can you believe that? And he would say, you don't know anything about football. And I learned it's no good to retaliate back. You don't either. In fact, when you were the high school, you know, quarterback, they tackled you in the backfield more than you went forward. Which is true, but I was a Christian. I had to tell the truth. But then Holy Spirit came in and said, why are you doing this? We played this one game. He taught me, and I became as good at him at this game and we played for the championship. Now we are in our 20s playing for the championship of the world in this one game. We didn't let anybody else play, but it was the championship of the world. And the final game came, and he won. And what did I say as a good Christian? You cheated. Which wasn't true. And I left with that. You cheated. That was my way of saying you didn't win. But then Holy Spirit came to me. Did he cheat? No. Did you win? No. Did he play fair and square? You betcha. But I always say, I always said he cheated if he ever won. He's my little brother. I can't let him beat me. Don't you have an energized spirit and he still needs Jesus? Yes. Is this worth it? Absolutely not. But it was the championship, but never mind. So I went back out, got in front of him. Please forgive me. You won fair and square. I lost. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have said you cheated because you didn't cheat. You won fair and square. Please forgive me. My brother had no idea what to say back. He didn't even know how to respond. I thought, he always responded when I would say something negative or try to cut him down or whatever. He'd always come back with something, and I would come back with something. It would be an ongoing thing. He couldn't say a word when I apologized for something I was absolutely wrong in. I thought, this is powerful. This is so powerful. It shut my brother's mouth. Now, I did get a little more mature after that and realized that wasn't the only reason why I should do that. So the next time he started to get on me about not understanding football, basketball, you name the sport, I said, you're right. Because it's true, I don't understand football that much. Basketball a little bit more. But anyway, football, I don't understand it that much. So I would just say, you're right, I don't. He didn't know what to say. And he has not been on my case for 30 years. He has not tried to go back and forth with me for more than 30 years. It's like, yeah. I just say, you're right on that one. It's not something to fight about. He's right. I don't know a whole lot about football. At least I would have to be an expert, you know, super expert or something. No. It's awesome. How did I do that? Out of my own strength? No, of course. Holy Spirit came in, gave me the strength out of the seventh sense, his presence, speaking in my heart, talking to me, communicating with me. And here's something else. In this seventh sense, the presence that we say so much around here. We need the presence, more of the presence. Hey, come to the presence. Hey, be in the presence. Hey, lay out in the presence. Soak in the presence. Worship in the presence. Presence, 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 presence. You know, the mind kind of gets dull after a while to hearing the word. That's part of what this is about. Making the dull sharp in us again. Including myself. That this seventh sense, the presence, when it's interpreting the five senses, wow. When it's interpreting the knowing of the sixth sense, wow. It's amazing what kinds of things can happen, what kinds of ministry we can give to people, how we can care for people who will know their need before they know it. They won't even have it formulated yet, and we'll know their need and be able to minister to them as we step into that. Habits will drop off of us that have been habits for years because we won't make the excuses that we make in the old man. We won't make the excuses that the soul makes. Well, the reason I do this is because my father did this, and my grandfather did this, and my relative before that did this, and that's why I'm like this. There is no excuse in the presence, because we can be totally changed. In thy presence is fullness of joy, in thy right hand there are pleasures forever. This is part of the pleasures. The seventh sense operating, so you're so radically different than what you were because you're constantly going to that seventh sense. Well, I have depression, you know, it's clinical depression, it's depression. How can you get rid of that if the soul says, and you should, because you should have it, because for heaven's sakes, a lot has happened to you. Or for heaven's sakes, you've been hurt deeply. Or for heaven's sakes, the finances aren't going well. You should have depression, your soul says. It makes logical sense. The soul often makes logical sense, makes perfect sense. But that's the wise of Proverbs. That's the wise of the New Testament that weren't really wise. They were wise in their own eyes. They were wise in the interpretation of the soul. Are you with me? We need the interpretation of the Holy Spirit washed in the presence of God. What happens when you come through those doors, when you are worshiping in your car, when you're worshiping by yourself, when you are reading the Bible? What's happening? You're getting a washing in the presence if you receive it. A washing in his presence to wash out the old and bring in the new. Bring in everything of his presence. Bring in that seventh sense to interpret everything in your life the way it should be. And what happens with that body that has the spirit interpreting things, has the presence of God operating in a seventh sense in your life? What happens with your body? It starts getting healed. When the body follows the soul, if the soul is a worrier, if the soul is, everything is a problem, oh my gosh, there's 911, 911, everything's going to fall apart. Worrying, your body, things happen with your body. It affects your body because they're so tied in. Body, soul, spirit. Soul affects the body, or the spirit affects the body. So what needs to happen? Our spirits need to rise up. You know, Josh, quite a few years ago now, wrote this song. Let my spirit rise, let my spirit rise. Let it take control, let it rule my soul. Straight from the throne flows a river, streaming with power from on high. And those who choose to receive it with joy will draw water from the wells of salvation and cry aloud. Let my spirit rise, let my spirit rise, let it take control, let it rule my soul. Now from my heart flows a river, streaming with power from on high. And as I choose to believe it, with joy I'll draw water from the wells of eternal life and cry aloud, let my spirit rise, let my spirit rise. You know, we have to, with the will, choose that. If we just think it's going to always fall upon us, like it was awesome to have that happen in my basement office where God chooses that kind of an encounter for me and he brings it on. You know, he brings it on. There was a little opening that I had opened. I, by my will, opened that little opening and he came phew, rushing in. So it looks like a sovereign act of God because, man, you know, I didn't know that was going to happen in my basement office on that particular night. But actually, I used my will just to open a crack. And he came rushing in. And in result to that, I'm saying some of us, we just need to crack just a little. In some areas, whatever area the Holy Spirit points out to us, he's going to rush in with this seventh sense and this presence. You're going to be overwhelmed with this presence. And some of you have already had these kinds of encounters, and there are more to come. But he's going to rush in with more of what you need, and you'll be operating out of all seven of your senses. So even what you see with your eyes will be totally interpreted differently than it was 5 years ago, 10 years ago, 15 years ago. Your spirit is going to interpret what your eyes see, what your ears hear, what you smell. Some of us, and I'm so happy to be included in this, I thought this was an impossibility for me because I have a deviated septum. I don't know if you, no, you don't want to look at it. But I remember sitting in the front here and smelling some smell that had no source in this room. And I was lit up because I just didn't even think that that would happen to me. I'd heard it happen to other people. But it just washed his presence over me. Just smelling that smell was an encounter and an experience. Knowing there's going to be tons of smells in heaven. He didn't give us a nose down here if there aren't a lot of fragrances up there. And they're going to be awesome, you know? You can go to Macy's or Kohl's all you want and go to the fragrance counter. It's going to be much better than that. And all the time. You don't have to respray. What's he say? Taste and see that the Lord is good. Why does he say that? Oh, it's just a nice little phrase. Some of you have tasted things that brought in more of his presence. Definitely some of you have felt some things, touched some things. Heat, cold, warmth. That sixth sense was put in the right sense, a knowing. He's here. He's here. And then the seventh sense, he shows up in such power. Manifest presence, and inside the bubbling presence. And then we hear a giggle, and we hear a laugh, and we hear some more giggles, and we hear some more laughs. And the people that are operating in only the soul's interpretation are going to be offended, aren't they? All of us have been there. We've been offended by something crazy in the spirit happening in front of us because we had not yet grabbed onto the seventh sense enough not to judge it. Because you won't judge it if you really grab onto it. Because you'll say, okay, if it's flesh, God's bigger. It's not a big 911. If something flesh happens in front of us, with all these things going on in the spirit, and one person is operating in the flesh, it's going to be overwhelmed. But there are literally bodies of believers that stop all the good stuff to prevent one bad stuff. Should be the other way around. That so many good encounters, so many good experiences are happening in the Holy Spirit that this one is overwhelmed. And the person's like, you know, they leave the meeting or wherever. Maybe that wasn't really God. That was kind of me. Because everything else they see is authentic. And they look and they go, oh, wow, that was kind of me. Correctable. It's easily correctable, right? So why don't we stand? We received at the beginning the song about the presence. I'd like you just to do whatever you do to receive. If you put your hands out as an expression, if you put your hands up, if you just stand there, if you put your hands in your pocket and say, Lord, fill them up. whatever you do to receive. Because he's a giver and he gives out of his presence, and his presence is a place of generosity. His presence is a place of healing. If you think about it, if you fully are in the manifest presence of God, no darkness can stand, no sickness can stand. Jesus didn't always touch people to to heal them. Sometimes he just showed up. The demons started shaking and he dealt with them. Because his presence was doing it. With Zacchaeus, he goes into his house after giving him an invitation to his own dinner at Zacchaeus' house. The presence must have shaken in that place because a tax collector, now get this, IRS, weren't having parties on the people's dime anymore. He was going out to the streets and throwing money at people out of his safe behind their Arabian rug on the wall. Because of the presence of Jesus, we don't have any account of Jesus saying anything when he was with Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus is just throwing money at people. What made that change in a tax collector? Tax collectors were one of the most despised people there are. Still are, sometimes, you know? What made that change in him? Suddenly, he was in the presence, and it changed everything. So today, I would press in, because you can kind of hear about this, and if you don't press into it, if you just disregard it, heard it before, know what he's talking about, no big deal, you won't get anything today. That's not what I want, and I know that's not what God wants. He wants you to press into, I want more of what that means to have that seventh sense operating. It is operating, but I want more of it. I want every one of my five senses in tune to it. I want that sixth sense in tune to the seventh. And the seventh rules over it because my spirit is rising. My spirit is rising. No more will I level out. No more will I have the lack and the cap of the soul interpreting things. I'm going to have the unlimited and the impossible becoming the possible because of the presence all over me, working with my spirit, energizing it, empowering it to make the good, right decisions, to take away the judgment and begin loving people no matter how they treat me, no matter what they do. Gonna love them. Gonna care about them. I'm going to give them an opportunity to have more of the presence. Gonna trust my family is totally in your hands, Lord, and that your presence will get to them. They won't just feel good in their feelings. The presence of God will heal their feelings, and they will be unoffendable, and they'll live in power. Thank you, Father. We pray for each person here, God. I'm asking, Holy Spirit, you would do what you do best. Interpret the revelation into their hearts so that they will understand it deeply in their spirits, that their spirit is waiting for new water, new manna. It's just waiting. And Lord, you interpret it to their individual spirits, God, in such a way that it will powerfully speak to them about pressing into your presence. It will bring the motivation. It will bring the doctrine that's needed to step out on, to be solid underneath their feet as they run towards you, run towards your Father's love, towards your presence to change them, God. And I'm asking that each body would respond to that new desire for your presence. If there's anyone that needs healing in here, God, because they're pressing into your presence, because of that presence being so strong that whatever's in their body is eradicated in Jesus' name. Whatever is troubling their body is eradicated in Jesus' name. And Father, we just receive this goodness, this grace in our hands, Father. We know you want our spirits to rise, to be fully alive, to connect our our spirit with your Holy Spirit be energized so this seventh sense is the one that does the interpreting for us. Your presence working in us, your presence on us and over us, your presence transforming our minds, leading our wills to submission to you. Because our wills can say no to all of this. Taking our emotions and healing them, Father, that they're not in charge, that they're fulfilled because of the presence, that the need is met inside of our emotions. Any search for significance inside of us, I want to be significant. May it have the absolute right motive behind it so that I can bless people in the kingdom. Not just so my name is known. Better to be a person who opens the door to the temple and do it righteously, do it with your whole heart, than be the priest and be so filled with yourself. Better to clean toilets than want to be the person in charge if you don't have humility. Work it all in us, God. We need you to do it. We know we don't have the well that's big enough. You not only have the well, you have the tank, you have the Niagara Falls to fill it up continually. Thank you, God. Give you praise. We receive right from your spirit today. We receive right from your presence today, direct. We take it. And we operate under it. We appropriate it because it's your gift to us. There's no striving with this. It's just receiving. We bless you, Lord. We give you praise. We honor your name truly, truly, truly from our hearts. We can't do this thing on our own. We know it. We so are aware of it, Father. And now we know you want to do it in us so much greater than what we ever thought. We're your temple. You fill the temple. You've come in to live. Our spirit is energized, is alive, and can become the interpreter of all the senses, Father. We give you the praise, Lord. We honor you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Be blessed. Think about these things. Ponder them. You'll have more revelation for us. Be sure and respond back and tell me. So when I write my book, I'll have more material.